Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I want to thank Mike for the terrific teaching he's done these last several months. You know, coming here this morning is a lot different ride for me than the way it's been for 4 months. You know, 4 months, relax. This morning, Lord, please give me help. Give me help. Hold it. And I know just how he feels. It's been good. And I did not have any idea. And he had really, well, I did not have any idea that he was going to, 2 weeks ago, read Romans chapter 6. I had no idea that he was going to do that. And that's exactly where we're going to look at today. So I feel that's the Lord's working in a rather wonderful way. Does anybody want to share something spiritually for a couple minutes that's on your mind? Just want to have a chance to share? Something good happened this week, something bad, whatever. Anybody like to share anything?
I just want to say, I've actually been, for like a couple months now, trying to memorize this, the first 14 verses of Romans 6.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So you started that about a month ago?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? That's great. Thanks. Anybody else? First 14 verses of chapter 6. What is your name again?
Amy.
Anybody else?
I don't have anything to share, but I forgot to ask. We should pray for Israel. I mean, what's going on there?
Why don't you pray right now?
Okay.
When you study what's going on in Israel, I read a lot, newspapers and stuff. It is ridiculous what took place there on the part of the Palestinians. I'm sorry, when you really find out what really went on. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with the nation of Israel and the tension, the escalations, Lord, the violence. God, we ask that somehow that our government would stand up and do the right thing. Other governments would do the right thing and help defend Israel. God, let this open up the world's eyes, God, to know that we do not live on a peaceful world. We live on a world, a fallen world, a cursed world. God, and there will be this type of violence, God. You tell us to pray for Israel, and that's what we're doing right now. God, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I would like to, while we have this classes, who is willing to participate if I say, are there any questions? Or would you like to share something? Or clarification? Who would you raise your hand if you're willing to be involved in that type of participation? What do we got here? Oh, good. So we got about half the class. I want you guys to do that. The class is so much more interesting. I taught by CODA for 10 years. Jewel, did we have a lot of discussion?
Wonderful. I'm here for you.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. But anyway, that's good. I want you to feel that freedom. It makes it much more interesting. Actually, you learn probably more from the questions and discussion sometimes than the actual teaching, if you know what I mean. Now, I gave you my outline. You know, Mike had one of these tremendous outlines. I have no idea how to do that on the computer, you know. So I do outlines, but your outline's on the back of that sheet. And you can just do your own outline. Okay, as we go through it, you can write it down, whatever you want. If you don't write anything, I won't be offended. Isn't that cool? So that's your outline on the back of the sheet there. And we're going to look at the other side in just a minute. Now, here's what we're going to do for a couple weeks. And then Mike will come back for 2 more weeks to wrap up his session. And believe it or not, you're going to have me for 14 weeks on suffering. The whole Sunday school is doing suffering. You know, we're all teaching the same thing. So we'll get into all that in a few weeks. But anyway, here's my outline for our class today. We're going to talk about Romans chapter 6 overview, that we are dead to sin. Then we're going to look at chapter 7, that we are dead to the law. Okay? And then we'll wrap up how to walk in the Spirit. And that's going to be the approach we're going to take to this little mini-series. What is your favorite? Here's where I need those hands that raise. Just throw them out. What is your favorite book of the whole Bible? If you had to pick one, you can only read it this afternoon, what would it be?
Ephesians.
Daniel.
Wow.
Philippians.
Galatians?
Job. Ruth.
Wow, I like that. Lots of variety. Why Ruth?
A
I like the fact that where he's, it just the whole story about the mother-in-law, about the going and it's about what word am I looking for? She is not attached, but she's devoted. Devoted.
Yes.
And it's something you don't see anymore.
Yeah. Good. Well, I have to say my favorite is the book of Romans. I was going to bring my 53-year-old Bible here today.
Hey, Barry?
Yes.
I think that question is kind of hard, though. It's kind of like, which is your favorite kid?
You're right, Tracy. They're all good.
I know. It's like, how do you...
Yeah, but when's the last time you read Hosea? Not too long. You know, it's been a while.
Okay.
I was going to bring my 53-year-old Bible and show it to you today. Pam said, no, don't you dare take that thing. It looks like shredded wheat, you know. But these three chapters are so read over 54 years or whatever we're reading it, that you can't even read it anymore. Not that I use it that often. But I used it this week for a few minutes. So it's a little trophy I have. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray that as we look at this, our hearts would be just so encouraged. And we pray, as somebody mentioned, about what's going on in our world, Lord, that we would fight the fight. You're ready. We're involved in a battle. We fight the fight on our knees. That's where it begins. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to emphasize something as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 33. Oh, by the way, pandemic. Did you know that most of the population of America, adults, gained about 10 pounds this last year? Eating this pizza, you know, working at home where the fridge is 5 feet away. Am I right? It's a battle royale. Well, I think that's about to change a little bit, and that's good.
Barry.
Yeah.
Our family doctor told my wife that his patients, the average was 22 pounds. And that's really sad because he's all about health and preventative living.
Yeah. Yeah, this article says that 8% of the population gained over 40 pounds. That's pretty scary. So anyway. All right. I want to emphasize something before we dive into this. Just a couple minutes on each of these. 1 Corinthians 12:33. And who could... Somebody read that nice and loud and clear. Where's those hands?
33?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 12:33.
Oh, man. First typo. Already I got a typo error. I'll change that for the next time I teach this in 20 years. All right. Oh, man. Where's the verse that says that you were baptized into the body of Christ? But you all know this whole concept, that you were baptized. It's there. Oh, 2 Corinthians. Go ahead. Why don't you read it?
1 Corinthians 12:13.
There it is. Go ahead.
For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Is that it?
Yes. When you got saved, remember all those things that Mike gave us, that sheet, about 46 things happened the minute you got saved? That was cool. You were placed into the body of Christ. You were placed into the body of Christ once and forevermore, never to lose that assurance.
That's Ephesians 1.
And that was the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have to make sure as we listen and study, never forget that concept of the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily life. And that's what we're going to emphasize today. My second verse, I think I got it right. I know I got this one right. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Could somebody read that one?
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah, read it one more time. Listen to this word.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
Sidebar. This week I was witnessing to a gal, and she told me she was off on her same-sex marriage thing. And I said, you know, the Bible has a great word for that lifestyle. It's called debauchery. She said, what? I said, let me explain. And I love that word, debauchery. But here's what it says here. Here's what it says. When you get saved, you get 100% of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You can't get more. He's a person. He indwells us 100%. When you read that verse, some people get confused. They kind of liken the Holy Spirit unto like a glass of water. Be filled, and then empty, and filled. Here's a better word out of Vine's Dictionary, New Testament words. Be ye controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's the... I can't get more of them. The day I got saved, man, I got him. He's mine forever. But he can have control of my life more or less on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? And I want to emphasize that as we talk about this impossible life we're called to live. It's very important to never... Any thoughts on that? That's a sidebar. I haven't even started my lesson yet. I'm doing a Bob Johnston introduction. Any other thoughts on that? We got to make sure we don't get confused on this issue. Okay? It makes all the difference in the world. We've got them. Now, as I was preparing this lesson these last couple of weeks, and this week especially, you know, Pam, you're not on. How many people are on that Zoom?
Quite a few this morning.
Do we?
Seven, but Pam's...
You don't see Pam, do you? No, she's in the youth group. She's in the youth group. That's good. That's good. But her and I got into an argument this week. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you know it? Here I'm going to be talking about walking in the Spirit and living a holy life, the road to holiness. I'm all excited and I want to just live the perfect life, especially this week if I'm going to get up in front of you guys. And I get into an argument with my wife about money. Any of you guys ever argue about money in your marriage? We got into a little debate. It wasn't a nasty one. I didn't lose my sanctification, but I'll tell you what, I had to go back and say, I am sorry. And I don't like saying it, but I did it. And I did it. And she was laying in bed half asleep. And I said, Pam, I can't go to sleep. I can't go to sleep yet. I want you to know I am very sorry for getting a little bit feisty about some of these things. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that. That's the Holy Spirit. You're right. Exactly. It was the Holy Spirit saying, Malloy, you get that thing right before you go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. I suppose there is no book in the Bible that I personally have studied more than the book of Romans. If you were to look at all the books, that this would be number one. And my question is this, how do I live what appears to be an impossible life? How in the world am I going to live this in such a fallen world? How can I do it? I never knew people could live this way, right? Some of you that got saved in your 30s, I never knew people could live this way. I never knew this quality of life existed. But how am I going to live this? To me, chapters 6, 7, and 8 are the most powerful chapters in all of the Bible. I mean that. They are some of the most powerful. And chapter 8 is, to me, the pinnacle. I'll put 6 here. I'll put 7 here, a little lower. And then I'll put 8 here. To me, chapter 8 is just absolutely the pinnacle of Scripture, if you were looking at it that way. And with that in mind, I would like to ask Tracy, if you would turn your little sheet over. I have a copy over there. I'll go sit down over there. Tracy, come on up. We're going to read this. It takes about 6 minutes. Tracy is going to read this. This is out of a modern version Bible. I want you to all be reading it at the same time. And it's good. It's the Holy Scriptures.
All right. Romans chapter 8, so that God can become more and more kindness and forgiveness. Of course not. Because God's kindness is not should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father with glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died. And now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. For when you were deadened to sin, for your you are freed from all its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power. But now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with God. So look upon your old sin as dead and unresponsive to sin. And instead, be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning. But give yourselves completely to God.
Amen.
Every part of you. For you are back from death, and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master. For now you are no longer tied to this law where sin enslaves you. But you are free under God's favor and mercy. Does this mean that now we can go ahead and sin and not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace. Of course not. Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once chose to be slaves of sin, now you have obeyed with all your heart the teaching of which God has committed you. And now you are free from your old master, sin, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way, usually using the illustration of slaves and masters, because it's easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sin, so now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. In those days when you were slaves of sin, you didn't bother much with goodness. And what was the result? Evidently, not good. Since you are ashamed now even to think about those things you used to do, for all of them end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and are slaves of God, and his benefits include holiness and everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't you understand yet, dear Jewish brothers in Christ, that when a person dies, the law no longer holds him in his power? Let me illustrate. When a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, she is no longer bound to him. The laws of marriage no longer apply to her. Then she can marry someone else if she wants to. That would be wrong while he is alive, but it is perfectly all right after he dies. Your husband, your master, used to be the Jewish law. But you died, as it were, with Christ on the cross. And since you are dead, you are no longer married to the law. And it is has no more control over you. Then you came back to life again when Christ did, and you are a new person. And now you are married, so to speak, to the one who rose from the dead, so that you can produce good fruit, that is, good deeds for God.
Amen. That is some powerful scripture. Unbelievable. All right. Let's talk a little bit about chapter 6, being dead to sin. And verses 1 and 2 there are particularly powerful. Okay? As you look at this chapter, there's four key words that I pointed out, and maybe you can't see these. The word knowing, the word reckoning, that's from the King James Version. I like that word reckoning. I'll tell you why. It's a counting term. The obey and yield is found in these verses. First of all, we're to know that we have died to sin. We're to read about it, study it, think about it, and come to an understanding that this has taken place. This is a monumental thing that has taken place in your life. You are dead to sin. Sin no longer controls your life. Secondly, we are to reckon. Verse 11, we are to reckon. It's an accounting term. It's an accounting term. The Holy Spirit declares that you're dead to sin. And you daily declare that you are dead to sin. Okay? We're to just take it and put it on this side of the trial balance. You know? Reckon that you have died to sin. Thirdly, the word obey is mentioned there in verse 16. Just do it. Each day, we are to just do it. I don't know about you, but in my workaday world, there were days when the pressure was just absolutely overbearing. Okay? And you're living the Christian life, and things are getting out of kilter a little bit. Okay? And tempers are flying in the workplace, and so on. And even you become part of this sometimes. And I would have to go, sorry guys, to the restroom. Okay? And I'd have to say to the Lord, hey, this is a new day. In fact, this is a new moment for the day. Lord, I want to live for you. I want to do what's right. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keeping short accounts with the Lord. Always being in a spirit of forgiveness and understanding with other people. And just obey the truth that you've died to sin. And then in verse 19, the word yield is used. Okay? And we'll look at that when we get to chapter 8. We're to yield to the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. Okay? To have a knowledge that God is in me. He controls me. He dictates to me how I should live. And we're to live a life that way. So that's to know it, to count on it, to just do it, and then step aside and let the Holy Spirit do it. Your thoughts on that? What do you think? Where's all those hands?
It's a daily thing.
Daily.
A literal daily thing.
Yep.
It's not a one and done thing. It's
nope.
Continual. You know, I'm just going to say, as you were talking about this week and preparing, your bullseye.
Oh, I know.
Enormous, mm-hmm. Right? And Satan knew that he needed to somehow come along and cause something in your life to distract you.
Right.
Because you were on a path to teach us the truth. And that is not uncommon.
Yeah.
That's really, you should be encouraged. Sad, you know, that it happened. But,
yep.
You know, so it is a daily thing. It
Amen.
It's something that you cannot just think it's, you know, one and done.
It's funny, I got a text last night from a brother that doesn't go to this church, but he and I share scriptures all the time. He has no idea what I'm teaching today. He didn't even know I'm teaching today. But he sent me that very thing. He said, there's too many people that think they're Christians because of an act they did. How about the life that we're told to live? That's what he said to me last night.
Yeah.
And he gave me a scripture. That's what you're saying, Trace?
Yeah.
What else? Any other thoughts? Supposedly, Paul says, there's an objection to what's just been taught in chapter 5, okay? So that logically, but rather illogically, someone would say, hey, since the more I sin, every time I sin, grace increases. You know, more sin, more grace. So why not just keep sinning? And then more grace will arrive. Paul says, no, that's not how it works. You died to sin. You died to sin. Sin no longer has control over your life. You're a Christian. This is an unalterable fact that has occurred in my life. Okay? When I compare the lifestyle that me and my family lead compared to my neighbor, it's like we're, sometimes I feel we're not even on the same planet. Don't you feel that way? It's unbelievable. You know, I got people that that think I'm absolutely crazy that I would go to church twice on Sunday morning. Anybody, you know, I get friends like, you go twice, why do you got to go twice? I used to go on Sunday night. We got small group, you know. A finance committee meeting on a certain night. Bible study on Wednesday. You know, they look at you like, are you nuts? Why are you wasting your life? It's a whole different life. And I'm not saying doing those, you know, you got to put those into your life. They think we're crazy the way we live. They think we're nuts. I can't believe the immorality of everyone today around me. I would say 95% of all the unsaved people that I know sleep with a girlfriend before they get married. I'm not kidding you. The percents are so high, it's like I keep thinking, how did this happen? Well, we all know how it happened. It's a whole different life. We've been called to live this life, okay? We've been called to live this life. This is the only relation to sin that we're to have. We're to be fearful of it. We're to mortify the deeds of the flesh, okay? We're to do death with them. And every once in a while, you got to go back behind the barn and kill them. And say, Satan, you get no more say in my life. Get out of here. And then come back and do what's right. Any thoughts? Let me illustrate. You don't have to make up your mind each day to lose your temper. You know, I'm a type A crazy guy. You know, I've always been this way. I used to have red hair. Used to get teased for having red hair and freckles. So I know what discrimination's like. You know, I've had it all my life. And my dad had a temper problem. That's no excuse. But I say, well, I inherited it from him. So you don't have to make up your mind to lose your temper. It just comes. Things happen. But I thought we died to sin. I thought it no longer ruled over me. We did. We did. Let me ask you a question, and I need help. How are we dead to sin? Okay? How are we to live where sin no longer has control over our life on a daily basis? How do we live this life? Thoughts?
So the Bible talks about putting off and putting on.
Yes.
So you are constantly depleted in being in the Word and having conversation with God in prayer on your part, Him speaking to you through the Word on His part, and you're trying to do it all on your own.
Not going to work.
Fail.
Amen.
You can fail every time, every day.
Yep.
It is important to make sure that what you're, and even the idea of taking, you know, there's the verse that says you need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Every thought.
Yes.
And then the idea that, I mean, it's hard when you're in the moment. It's hard when you're in the moment and you're ticked off, you know, and
yes,
you're ready to blow.
Yeah.
But when you beat your body into submission, and I'm using that term literally because
yep,
it's a fight and it's a battle with taming your tongue and maybe biting it off, you know, whatever it takes.
Yep.
Do it.
Amen. Thank you. Other thoughts. Go ahead.
The power of the Word. Like she said, taking every thought captive and the Word transforms your heart and mind.
Yeah.
Putting it into practice and reading it. And,
yeah. Ruth, one of the joys of memorizing Scripture when we were kids, if you were brought up in Sunday school and so on, and my parents, is to have Scripture right there in my mind. You know, I don't have a Bible everywhere. I do have one in the car. And I got 26 of them at home, you know, type thing. I've accumulated and so on. But how the Scriptures can come right into your mind when these battles start to come is a wonderful thing. Go ahead.
I think many times I know this from my own life, too, that We tend to focus too much on what we should not be doing.
Yeah.
What we should be doing.
Or amen.
What we should be thinking of. You know, because I can remember so often thinking, here's my downfall. And then through the day, I'm thinking, okay, I can do it. I can not do this through the day. I'm going to make sure I conquer this today. And we focus on the sin instead of focusing on the Savior. And we need to change the perspective of thinking about Him and in worship and in His Word and taking out thinking about the sin and putting in thinking about who we need to be in Christ instead.
Amen.
You know, and for me, it just changed everything in turning that sock inside out instead of always thinking of what I shouldn't do.
Did you hear that? Good advice.
I'm sorry, one more thing. You know, there are going to be times. No, there are going to be often times.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel like it.
Right.
You're not going to feel like it. It's hard to get into the Word. Yeah. You're tired. Yeah. You might be mad. You are whatever. Yeah. Okay. You just don't want to. Yeah. But when you force yourself, the blessing is so much sweeter.
Yeah. Amen. I've got at least 5 guys in my life right now who are not in the Scriptures like they should be. They just, they're Christians, they love the Lord, but they have just let it go, Tracy. I've got them each reading 5 minutes a day. How do you like that? And I'm about to turn the corner in the next week or so. I'm going to get them up to 7. I want to get them up to 7. Okay? I don't want to go 20. I just want to get them up to 7. You get what I'm saying? And a couple guys said, hey, Malloy, that has really been helpful. Thank you. These are Christian people. So sometimes we just got bold things like that. All right, let's continue on here. We are a new creation. We are a new creation. God has infused into our souls the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we've died to sin. Sin no longer is to have control over me. Okay? Sin no longer rules my life. Sin no longer is in control of my life. We've got a new king. His name's Jesus. We've got a new king in our life. And he is in charge. He is in charge. Would anybody like to illustrate where King Jesus ruled in a small way in your life this week? Something that happened. Just something that comes to mind when I said that. Where the Lord just, he was in charge. Go ahead.
I've struggled a lot this week. The 13th was 2 months since my husband's gone.
Yes.
And I feel like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
And I for the first time, I sent a text to my girls that I'm in Bible study with, and I pretty much begged them to pray for me because I couldn't see anything past my own face and my own hurt. And they prayed. And I knew that they were praying, and I felt it. I felt it within minutes. This calmness that came over me. And when the guys came to do my deck, there was something that went wrong with one of the electrical things in my house. And I panicked because I had no idea how to figure out what I needed to do to help them. And I knew at that moment that only Stephen would have been able to answer that question. And I hollered out to him. I just screamed out to him to show me what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, okay, he showed me, but it really wasn't him. When I got to thinking about it, it was Christ that showed me.
Amen.
What exactly to do and to calm myself down, to take a deep breath and to walk. And I did it, and the guys were like, that was great. So I fixed the problem for them.
Wow. Isn't that great? This is what we're called to live, folks. This is how it works. It's a wonderful life. Any other thoughts? We're gonna start now chapter 7. What time is that? 10-2 or 5-3-2? 3-2, right? 3-2? Well, we're going to stop right now. I expected to get through all these pages today, but I'm not really worried about it. Well, you know what's kind of neat? I got next week. I'm not under that pressure. I kind of like that. All right, in conclusion, we got 2 minutes. Lessons learned. Anything stick out? Just any? We've shared a lot, but some of you that haven't. Anything just stick out? Being dead to sin? Alive to Christ?
I think the put on needs to, the root of the put on should be to love God.
Amen.
And that will rule the day.
Yes.
It is a discipline, but I think the more we love God, the more we will be practicing His presence. I mean, love Him and be thankful for every little thing.
Yeah.
And be always mindful and grateful.
Amen.
For our righteousness and for who we are in Christ.
You hear that? And if I could add to that, we as Christians should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth, and we are.
Amen.
We're the most giving people on the face of the earth. There's no other group of people that give in time of need like the Christians. It's unbelievable in relation to our population. It's unbelievable. But we should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth too. And I mean thankful to other people. I think we as Christians need to go out of our way to thank brothers and sisters for who they are and what they're doing, and to just have that attitude of just great thankfulness, okay? It just is so encouraging. People, sometimes you don't even know, you know? I was so encouraged last week with our missions thing. You know, Becky put that together primarily. I think Anna had a little part in it. Huh? You told me you had a small part, so that's why I'm saying it. But it was so encouraging. I'm praying with these four people now this week and writing emails, Pam and I, okay? And it's just fantastic, okay? But I was so thankful for the way Becky put that together. And we had about 8 or 9 people from all the other classes in here to learn from Becky how to do it. So it was really encouraging. And I thank her for doing that. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, that we would live this life. It is an incredible life. It is an encouraging life. It's an outstanding life, Lord. Because we get to stand in your shadow, Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, and to proclaim your word, your truths to a fallen world. Bless us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.